The following material is brought to you by Riverside Baptist Church in Riverside, California, where clarity, eternity, and charity are our motto. We invite you to join our services at Riverside Baptist. For more information, please visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com.
Luke chapter 5. I want you to consider, number one, the begging man. Number two, the healing hand of Jesus Christ. And thirdly and lastly, this morning, I want you to consider the cleansing offering, which is in the Old Testament referred to by Jesus Christ here in this passage. I'm going to read verses 12 through 16 and follow along as I read Luke 5, 12 to 16. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he, that is Jesus Christ, put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no one, no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Thus far is the reading of God's word. Receive it willingly, humbly, anticipating what faith may germinate in your heart this morning. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Lord, help us to consider today the begging man, the healing hand of Jesus, and the cleansing offering, which was instructed in the Old Testament. Lord, I pray that this morning our minds and our hearts be opened to receive your word. God, I pray, help us to receive your word willingly and humbly, and to be willing for the Holy Spirit to work in our innermost beings, Lord. This morning, I pray, give me clarity of speech and clarity of mind, that I might explain your word accurately, precisely, and to your honor and glory for our benefit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. First, I want you to consider the begging man that we find here in verse number 12. Several days after my quarantine was over, a friend of mine from the high desert came for a needed visit. And I said to him as he was approaching my front door, as a matter of fact, there was one lady from our church as well who brought some groceries. I think it was Amanda. So thankful for that day. And here comes my friend from the high desert, graced me with a much needed visit. And I said to him as he was approaching my front door, unclean, unclean. And we laughed at that and yet maintained our social distance. What we see here in Luke chapter 5 is a much more dramatic scene than what we can read here in the Gospel of Luke. Notice the leper. And according to the medical doctor, he was a man full of leprosy. And when you are full of leprosy, you are at the last stage of the disease, and your days are numbered. Leprosy is an infection caused by a slow-growing bacteria which affects the nerves, the skin, and the lining of the nose. The nerve damage can result in crippling of the hands and feet, paralysis, and blindness. Some people will lose their ears and their nose. They would just fall off because of this slow-growing bacteria. And for hundreds of years, if not thousands of years, there was no cure for this disease. A Bible commentator said that this disease was a living death, which no medicine can check or stay. And according to the ancient historian Josephus, lepers were treated as if they were, in effect, dead men. They were walking dead. Lepers had to live in isolation. And since there was no cure, the only defense was quarantine. And so lepers lived in separate communities. They're called leper colonies. This was a matter of public health. It was also a matter of biblical principle. Because we find in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, the biblical principle about this disease. Turn now to Leviticus in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, the third book of the Old Testament. I want to show you where we find this in the Old Testament. And it is Leviticus chapter 13. Leviticus chapter 13. And I want you to look at verses 45 and 46. Leviticus 13, 45. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare. That is, you just let it hang. You just leave it uncovered. You just leave it unkempt. And he shall put a covering upon his upper lip. What is that? That's a face mask. And shall cry what? Unclean, unclean. Verse 46. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell in isolation, in quarantine, alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. Think of the misery and the humiliation, the humiliating psychological effects of this isolation, this leper's isolation from his loved ones, his spouse and family and friends, and even from the normal engagement of society. And if you were a leper, you weren't just sick. You were isolated. You were an outcast. You were a walking dead. Ladies and gentlemen, leprosy is a grotesque picture of our spiritual condition before we were cleansed. Did you notice that? Do you realize that? Before we were cleansed by the medicine of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we were lepers. We were walking dead. The Apostle Paul alluded that we were walking dead when we were living in sin. I want you to look at Ephesians in the New Testament, to the epistle of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesian Christians. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. And if you can't find this epistle right now, just jot it down and study it later. Ephesians chapter 2. And I want you to look at verses 1 through 5, where the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, revealed this grotesque condition of the unbeliever, their former condition of the Ephesian Christians before they were cleansed by the medicine of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says in verse 1, "And you hath he quickened," that is, made alive, "who were" what? "Dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world." This was your former life. You walked in the path of this world, which was a path that led to utter destruction, according to the prince of the power of the air, that is, according to satanic power and governance of the government of the air, that is, the domain of earthly atmosphere. We lived, we walked, we conducted ourselves according to the satanic influence, who is the prince of the power of the air. And then it says that the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, this is the same spirit, the same influence, the same power, which is now working in the world today, in the world of men who are disobedient to the Word of God. And verse number 3, "among whom also we all had our conversation." What is that? Our conduct, our life, our lifestyle was according to the lust of our flesh. That is, the cravings of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse number 4, "but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us," that is, made alive, "together with Christ. By grace ye are saved." And we say amen to that. But we were walking dead. This was our condition. And where did the Apostle Paul get this? Well, he got this concept from God Himself, who said to Adam, "Adam, the moment you eat the forbidden fruit, you shall surely die. You shall surely die." This was our condition. I want you to notice, go back to our text, Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, our text this morning. Notice the begging man. The begging man in verse number 12. "And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him," that is, implored him, that is, begged him, "saying, Lord, if thou If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He was a walking dead, not only physically, but also spiritually. In this verse, as you read it, as you look at it, do you think he was desperate? He was supposed to have been isolated, was he not? But he walked right into the city. He was supposed to have been quarantined. But he walked right into a crowd of people. Why? Because he was desperate of his condition. Imagine the immediate dispersion of the crowd who were thronging the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider his begging for cleansing. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. First of all, the leper recognized the power of Jesus to cleanse. He recognized it. He recognized that Jesus has the power to cleanse. Where did he get this news? Who told him about the power of Jesus? Well, we look at the previous verses of our text. We find out that his fame, that is the fame and popularity of Jesus, was spread abroad. And the report and the news that he got was right. It wasn't fake news. He got the news, and that's what told him that Jesus has the power to cleanse him. And so this news went throughout the land and even to the leper colonies. And secondly, we see here that the leper not only recognized Jesus' power to cleanse, but he recognized that if he was gonna be cleansed, it was gonna be according to the will of the one who is able to cleanse. This shows us the leper's utter desperation, the leper's complete dependence upon the one who is able to perfectly clean him, cleanse him. My friends, do you seek salvation of your soul? Do you seek cleansing of your soul? Do you seek cleansing of the filth of the sin in your soul? The cleansing from your sins, the making alive of your dead condition. Do you seek this? This is how you should seek the Lord. This is how you should seek God. The leper threw himself down at Jesus' feet. He humbled himself and abandoned himself at the mercy of the Lord. He didn't care what the other people were thinking. He probably got scolded. He probably got all kinds of names. He probably got all kinds of statements that were derogatory towards him. He did not care. He was desperate for cleansing. And he fell at the feet of Jesus Christ and humbled himself and depended on the mercy of Jesus Christ. This, my friends, is true faith. Do you realize this is how we all come to Jesus? This is how we all come to Jesus for the salvation of our souls. We are awakened to our desperate need. What does the Bible tell us? For the wages of sin is death. We were awakened by the Holy Spirit to realize and to recognize that the wages of sin is death, which is in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. For God is angry with the wicked every day. We recognize this and we realize this, by the power of the Holy Spirit, conviction in our life. And then we beg God for cleansing, because Isaiah says in his book, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man forsake his unrighteous thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him who seeks him, who begs him, who seeks for his mercy. He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." This is what we did. All of us had to come to this point. And then finally, we believed that Jesus can make us clean. Oh, Jesus has the power. He possesses the power to cleanse us from all sin. He has complete power to do this. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Boys and girls, 1 Corinthians comes before 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Oh, the remarkable power which Jesus possesses to cleanse us from the grotesque, dirty, filthy sins which we've committed. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want to focus in on verse 11, but I want to give you the context of this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want you to look at verse 9. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, writing to the church at Corinth, reminding them of the former conversations, conduct, lifestyle of their life. And he lists some pretty grotesque sins here. Look at verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" What does that mean? That the unrighteous will not go to heaven. He says here, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators." What is that? Those are the sexually immoral people. "Nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate." What is that? Those are the homosexuals or the male prostitutes. And then look at, "nor abusers of themselves with mankind." What does that mean? That's the sodomites. And then verse number 10, "nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. These will not go to heaven." And then he says in verse number 11, "and such were some of you." Meaning, you were like this before. Any of these before. And then he says, "but ye are what? Washed. Cleansed. But ye are sanctified." What does that mean? You become a saint. Bless God. You're now saved. You were a sinner, but now saved. You've become a saint. You've been sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Oh, what complete power does Jesus have to cleanse you from sin? And that's why this begging leprous man came to Jesus Christ. Oh, this is what we did. And I implore you today, if you've never done this, that you would fall at the feet of Jesus Christ and beg Him to cleanse you from all unrighteousness and to save your dead spirit. Make it alive, and so that you will have eternal life in heaven. Go to Jesus Christ, as did this leper. Depend on His mercy. Ask Him to cleanse you from your sin. The second thing I want you to consider this morning is the healing hand. First, we notice the begging man. Now we look at the healing hand. Verses 13 and 15 of our text, Luke chapter 5, verses 13 and 15. And He, that is Jesus Christ, put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Jump to verse number 15. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. I want you to notice the healing hand of Jesus Christ. Contrary to what the culture thought and the predominant perspective of public health, Jesus put forth his hand and touched the leper. Can you see them now in your mind's eye? First, they see this man, this leper, approaching the crowd. And next, you see the crowd starting to pull away from from Jesus. And then you see the leper falling down on his face. And finally, can you hear it? Can you hear the scream from the crowd? The gasp from the crowd? They are holding their breath and started yelling, unclean, unclean, what are you doing here? You're going to make me contagious. Are you going to make me unclean? You're going to make me, you're going to infect me with this. And then they see Jesus. He touched him. Yeah, Jesus did touch him. What an incredible display of compassion. Just think about it, friends. For months, if not for years now, this leper had not felt the feeling of love and care and compassion from anybody. Not from his family, not from his friends, not even from his foes, not even from anybody in the community. But here we see the hand of Jesus as the hand of compassion touch him. Now, he may not have felt it because his nerve endings had been gone, but he sees Jesus close to him. He'd never seen anybody that close before, at least for months. And for the first time in a long time, here is another human being, another person who shows compassion upon him. What a great picture of the Lord in the book of Psalms. I want you to look at just a couple of verses here in Psalms of God who is compassionate. Psalm 78. Psalm 78. And look at Psalm 78:38. The context of here, of this song, my friends, is found in verses 32 through 37. And let me just read just a couple of verses here. Psalm 78:32. For all this they sinned still. That is talking about the Israelite people. God had showed them many miracles, many wondrous works, and yet they still sinned and believed not for His wondrous works. Verse 33, therefore their days did He consume in vanity and their years in trouble. Look at verse number 35. And they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their Redeemer. Look at verse 37. For their heart was not right with Him, neither were they steadfast in His covenant. But look at verse 38. But He, that is God, being full of what? Compassion, forgave their iniquity, that is, cleansed them from sin, and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned He His anger away, and did not stir up all His wrath. I want you to turn to verse, chapter 86, Psalm 86. Just a couple of pages from where you're at right now. Psalm 86, verse 15. But Thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. And lastly, Psalm 111. Psalm 111. And I want you to look at verse number 4. Psalm 111, verse 4. Psalm 111, verse 4. He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. This certainly fits Jesus Christ, a description of the Lord who is compassionate. And what a great picture that Jesus displayed here of His compassion. Not only that Jesus' hand was a hand of compassion, His hand was also a hand of power, a hand of great power. Go back to our text in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 13. And He, that is Jesus, put forth His hand and touched Him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from Him. This is an incredible display of competence. Jesus' hand was not only a display of compassion, but it was also a display of competence. Jesus was completely powerful. He was completely competent to cleanse this leper. This is reminiscent of how God created the universe, doesn't it? Isn't it? Be thou clean. What did God do in Genesis chapter 1? He said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be firmament, and firmament became. This reminds us of the complete competence of God. It was not only a hand of compassion, but also a hand of competence. I want you to notice here, very, very stark contrast to to the faith healer so-called today. The cleansing of the leper was not based on his faith or lack thereof. His cleansing was based on the will of Jesus. His cleansing was based on the power and the willingness of Jesus. It was not based on the man's faith or lack thereof. Now, this is contrary to what we know about the faith healers, so-called, of today, where they will see and say to you, and very uncompassionately, really, it's so unkind to tell somebody that you're not healed of your disease because you lacked the faith. No. This is contrary to what Jesus displayed here. The leper's cleansing was based on the will of God. There's a great lesson to be learned here. Our prayers, our desires must align with God's will. We know and trust that God is competent in doing anything. Why? Because He is all-powerful. Paul said to the Ephesians that Jesus is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I mean, just think of the superlatives that he's using there. Exceeding, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. You see, his utter competence and all-powerful God. But that's totally up to him. That's totally up to Jesus Christ whether to do it or not. And that's why Jesus taught his disciples to pray thus, what? Thy will be done. And he even exemplified this very attitude in his own life. The man, Jesus Christ, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says to God the Father, Lord, your will be done, not mine. Oh, are you humble enough to leave your cleansing to the Lord Jesus Christ? One of the world's richest men was a man by the name of Ted Turner. People say of him that he had a troublesome childhood. When his 15-year-old sister died of lupus disease, his father, who eventually killed himself by firing a bullet into his brain, renounced God. He said, if that's the type of God that he is, I want nothing to do with him. And so shortly thereafter, Ted Turner himself abandoned any semblance of faith and religion and God. Why? All because he didn't humble himself under the mighty hand of God, which our text here informs us that it is a hand of compassion and it is a hand of competence. He did not humble himself like the begging leper humbled himself. I know, Lord, you can do this, but it is according to your will. According to your will. Do it. And so that brings us to the third and final point this morning. That is the cleansing offering. Verses 14 and 16 of our text. Look at Luke chapter 5, 14 through 16. And he, that is Jesus, charged him to tell no one, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And then verse 16 is really another paragraph here, but the writer, Dr. Luke, attached it to this paragraph because of this very important application that you and I ought to adapt and follow. And that is, when you are in the work of the ministry and the work of helping people's lives, you get weary and therefore need strengthening. And take the example of Jesus Christ. And what did he do? He departed from the crowd. He separated himself from the crowd to get that strengthening power. And how did he do it? A 5-hour energy drink? Red Bull? Mountain Dew? No. He prayed. He prayed and asked God to energize him. And so we see here in the last verses of our paragraph, the cleansing offering. Why did Jesus do this? Why did he say, go to the priest and show yourself to him so that you can get back into the society and be back in fellowship with the community? Well, first of all, we see here Jesus' commitment to the law of God, his utter reverence to the law of God. Why? As Matthew tells us, that Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill every single law. To fulfill the law and the prophets. I want you to look at Leviticus chapter 14. Leviticus chapter 14, the third book of the Old Testament, the third book which Moses wrote. Leviticus chapter 14, we see here what that leper ought to have done. And Jesus encouraged him to do exactly what the law of God requires. Look at verses 1 through 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. Isn't that what Jesus said to him? Verse 3, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed. And here is an elaborate ceremony that is to be done, an elaborate ritual that needs to be done. 2 birds alive and clean, and cedar wood, that's a piece of wood, and scarlet, that's a scrap of fabric of scarlet, and hyssop, some twigs of this shrub called hyssop. It's a shrub with white flowers. Get some twigs of this and put it all together. Get it. And verse number 5, and the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. There's this basin, a vessel with water, and you're supposed to kill one of the birds and let the blood of it drip into, fall into this vessel with water. Verse number 6, and for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, that piece of wood, and the scarlet, that piece of cloth and the hyssop, the twigs, dip them into the vessel with water that is mingled with the blood of the bird that was killed. Okay? And the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water, and sprinkle some of that onto the living bird. And then, verse number 7, he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed. So the priest will also sprinkle upon the leper, or that person who had just been cleansed from leprosy, 7 times. And then what? Shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open air, loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes and shave off all his hair and wash himself in water, that he may be clean. And after that he shall come into the camp, so that he can be reinstated in his fellowship, and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. Verse 9. But it shall be on the 7th day that he shall shave all his hair off his head, and his beard and his eyebrows, even all his hair shall he shall shave off, and he shall wash his clothes. Also he shall wash his flesh in water, and he shall be clean. The British expositor John Phillips writes this: at the heart of the elaborate procedure, 2 birds were taken. One of the birds was slain. What is this picture? What does this symbolize? One of the birds was slain. It symbolizes that the sinner can live only because Christ has died in his stead. The living bird was dipped in the blood of the slain bird. Now look at this picture. The leper also was sprinkled 7 times with the blood to identify him with both the substitute and the shed blood. The living bird was then released to fly toward heaven, bearing with it the shed blood of the other bird. The blood on the ascending living bird bore witness to heaven that the leper was cleansed. The blood on the leper himself bore witness to the fact that he personally received the blood, that he personally appropriated the blood that secured his cleansing. The whole ritual of which this ceremony was but a part depicts how sinners find in Christ a perfect Savior. He died for us, and he shed his precious blood to atone for our sin. And after his death, burial, and resurrection, you know what he did? He ascended into heaven on high to bring with the blood, is declared to bring the blood of atonement into heaven itself. And the sinner, meanwhile, sprinkled with the blood, is declared cleansed and fit to be brought into the fellowship of the people of God. Wow! What a wonderful picture of salvation, of cleansing. This is what the cleansing offering was all about. A picture of atonement for our sin. And Jesus fulfilled this picture with the leper who sought him. Applications for your use this morning. Number 1. Are you a leper? Are you yet a leper in need of cleansing? from sin? Are you yet a walking dead? Oh, I tell you, fall upon the feet of Jesus Christ. Beg Him to cleanse you. Beg Him, humble yourself. Realize that you are in a desperate condition and drop to your knees before Christ and beg Him for cleansing. And you know what? As He did with the leper, He will do to you, because He says, for all of those who will come to Him, He will in no wise cast out. Go to Christ. Humble yourself unto Him and beg Him for cleansing of your sin. Secondly, this morning, do you have a physical ailment? Realize that Jesus' hand is a hand of compassion, and it is a hand of great power as well. But you have to have the attitude of what? Your will be done, O Lord. If it's Your will for me to be healed, then praise You. I live for You. But if it's Your will for me not to be healed because it will bring much more glory unto You, then let Your will be done, O God.